97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh my God, are they good? What a dominating performance Saturday night, Flyers. Oh my God, I'm starting to get like Carter Hart's Pelly. Oh no, I don't want to say it. How amazing was he Saturday night? Two breakaways. He stones Kucherov. Oh, are you kidding me? He was outrageous. First period, games in a balance. Right? Couple times, two breakaways, flat out breakaways. One off a giveaway, one shorthanded. The Kucherov stoned them. Oh, that's ridiculous. The kid. Are you kidding me? And then they're like, somebody called them, they play like Drago. Like, they come at you in waves. They're a machine. And it's true because they're so deep. The depth of on that team, and they just run at you and smother you. Wow, they're good. They are really, really good. Oh, this goal sets the stage for Wednesday night, game one. The NHL playoffs begin. Flyers, Les Habitants. Flyers and Canadiens. What a great series. Canadiens take care of the Penguins. So Flyers get Montreal, and it's Hart versus Carey Price. Carter Hart grew up idolizing Carey Price. Price was tremendous against the Penguins. So here it is. The playoffs begin. What a week. We got game one Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Game two Friday at 3. Cannot wait for the Flyers playoffs. We'll talk about them. What a game Saturday night. They start the bubble. And then they just systematically defeat the Bruins, the Capitals, and the Lightning. 1, 2, 3. That's big notches on the Flyers' belt. What a game. And how about it? The Ghost was active. The Ghost played well. Farabee, it's my man. He lit the lamp. Pretty good. A lot of fun, man. This Flyers team is a lot of fun to watch because they're that good. They have come together in a monstrous way. So we'll talk all about Flyers today. Boosh will be with us at 11:30. Can't wait to talk. He's doing a great job. I've been watching a lot of the hockey, and Boosh has done a fabulous job. Great job. So looking forward to talking to Brian Boucher at 11:30. Size up the Flyers. And take a little, I'm curious what he says about the Canadiens and at what kind of danger they pose. Meanwhile, can't say the same about the other squad in the bubble. The other squad in the bubble has now become a disaster. Yeah, the curse of the process. I never thought I would believe in the curse of the process because I was a process and remain a process devotee. But this curse of the process is upon us. Now, Embiid's fine. He left the game yesterday. Word is, he's fine. You know, something tells me he's not exactly dialed in right now. No Simmons playing with slop. This team is struggling. I'm now looking to go after that OKC pick and tank the rest of the way. The tank is back, baby. I can't believe it. That's called gallows humor. The tank is back. They are woeful. They're woeful. They're rudderless. They have no plan on the floor. The wrong guys are playing in the wrong positions. The gimme is that Lillard would go off yesterday. You knew that Dame would just flex yesterday after the Clippers thing that they got pissed off by the Clippers And then he goes in and why? He's going to have Shake Milton guard him? Were you serious? He went, hey, Shakey Shake, here you go. Let me drop 50 on you. And the only surprise was the game was that close and the Sixers actually had a lead late in the fourth quarter before relinquishing it. But it's a disaster. It really is. It sucks. I'm mourning it. I'm depressed about the Sixers in basketball. And I watch, but I watch the NBA. I watched like the Clippers Nets last night. But I got to tell you, I lost my luster. I expected big things. I expected one day Flyers, one day Sixers, and the double-double run. I got one run, but not the other. And Phillies yesterday, the bright spot is Spencer Howard. It looked good, looks promising. But after that, that's just dreck. That's just more dreck. That's just Klentak dreck. He has given you nothing. And I know I've been railing on him for 3 years now, but if there's ever more of a reason why he has to go, look at this. Speaking of rudderless, what do you got? You got a team that's patched together? That's just ugly. That's a bad, and they're not even, they should be so much better than they are. Anyway, that's the state of the three sports playing. Football is about to change this week because what you're going to probably see maybe as soon as today is the Big Five postpone the college football season. There was an emergency meeting yesterday. Big Ten is about to pull the plug. And if the Big Ten goes, they all go. The MAC and your Tuesday night action was pulled over the weekend. No action. There is, and that just leads it to the next one. The next one is going to be the Big Ten's going to say, let's go. Nobody wants to do it, right? So they all came with this idea, these Power Five conferences. Well, let's kind of muddle through it. And let's just try to bowl our way through it. Because the Pac-12 and the SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, no one wanted to pull the plug. No one wanted to be the first one to do it. Well, the fact that the MAC goes and the fact that Big Ten is teetering. See, the SEC will play through a nuclear war, right? Because that's all they care about down south is SEC football. So Big Ten's going to pull the plug, and I think it happens today at some point. And then what we're going to have is the last man standing, and it will be the NFL. And the NFL will try to play, and they'll move the games around. And the fact that college football will get postponed, I'm hoping at least they try to play in the spring. But the fact that college football gets postponed is more of a reason why the NFL will play. Because the NFL goes, let's see here. So we know that the NBA and the NHL will be done by October the 11th is when the NBA finals, the game 7 ends. So the NFL goes, so there's going to be no sports in the fall except us. And there's no way in the world, I don't know, there's no way in the world I think that they pull the plug. They're going to go on and try to go head on with coronavirus and the pandemic, and they're going to play. And for our sakes, I hope that they succeed. But lots to get to today, busy Monday, and it all starts with the Flyers, Chunis.
What's up?
What's up, my brother?
How great was that Saturday? That's the first thing I said to you, by the way, when we talked on the phone. Those two saves, breakaway saves that Carter Hart makes. And it goes back to that first game against the Bruins where it looks like the Flyers were going to lose that first period. and he makes all these saves and keeps them in the game. Then the Flyers really put their pedal, you know, their foot down the gas pedal the second, third period.
The Kucherov, I mean, Kucherov is
outrageous.
Deadly.
Outrageous.
Mean, you know what kind of sniper he is.
Yep.
He's deadly, the Russian sniper.
And he makes those two saves, and the Flyers end up scoring two goals in the first period and never really look back. And how about, you talked about depth. That was the first things, one of the first things you brought up to start the show today. He's been around this season. He hasn't played every single game, but a guy like Nicholas Abe-Kubel scores two goals yesterday. Right? Yeah. Like everybody is producing for the Flyers right now.
And
everybody.
What's that? That's the hallmark of a championship type of team.
Yes. When next man up, right? We saw that in 2017.
Yeah. Ghost. Now you saw a Ghost. How about the Ghost comes in and Ghost plays well?
Yeah, he gets, two assists. It's like, all right, hey, I know I've been a healthy scratch, but here, I'll provide two assists for you.
How about my boy Farabee?
Yep. A beautiful goal. I mean, the Flyers from
he's
top to bottom playing.
Dude.
Yes, he is.
He's a talent.
But from top to bottom, this Flyers team is playing lights out, and it's been so much fun to watch. And
yeah,
this is gonna be a great series. Starting things off, you mentioned the relationship Carter Hart has with Carey Price. You know, that was his idol growing up. I feel so good about the Flyers. I can't wait, man. And then Friday, the second game's at 3:00. I'm kind of in on that.
Love the Friday
for
afternoon.
For the first series, I'm
happy
in on the
hour,
Friday afternoon.
Flyers?
Yeah.
I love it.
We'll have beers in our hands.
I love it. The Provolone Joe says, the last number one seed in this town won a Super Bowl.
Yep, how about
That's
that?
That's all I'm saying. Go Flyers. Boosh will be joining us 11:30 to discuss the chances, to discuss the Les Habitants and Montreal.
Yeah, and he's been great on these calls.
He's been
doing two games on one day.
He's
so
outrageous.
I'm glad we have some free time to have him on. No games in the NHL today, so
I'm glad we can
get him on.
He really is. He's the best. I'm so excited. You know, it's a shame because Flyers held up their end of the bargain, and you know, the Sixers have turned back in the dreck. The Sixers look more like the Phillies.
Yeah, it would have been great to have two teams really contending in their respective bubbles. But yeah, this is bad. I mean, if Embiid's out, which you know you're hinting that he's fine. Let's hope. But if he's out, I mean, you have absolutely no.
Well, if he's out, forget about it. But you know, he's not. He's from what I'm told, he's fine.
Okay, that's good. That's good to hear.
So but it doesn't matter because he's not bought in. You know, he's not bought in. Because he knows they're not good enough to do anything without Seth.
Without Ben. And that's a problem. Come on. I almost dropped a guy. Come on, guy. Like, let's go. If you're one of the two stars, I get it. But you got to do whatever you can to win. You can't go, oh, just because Ben's out, I'm out. You can't do that.
I agree, but...
That's when you go, all right,
he's got a bit of
put the team on my back here.
He's got a bit of front runner in him.
No, I don't like that.
Do you think... Now, let me ask you a question. Now, we'll see. He's got time to do this. But when the playoff, before the playoffs start, the eve of the game one, he's got to say, all right, I'm going to be Wilt.
Yes, he has to do that.
I mean, that's the only way that they have a chance to get out of the first round.
I don't know what the Eagles players were saying, but when Wentz goes down, I didn't hear any, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I
heard big loss, but we believe in Nick Foles. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but where's Nick? Who's playing Nick Foles?
That's a good point. Oh, Al Horford. People were making that connection over the weekend that it took the bubble to make Al Horford all of a sudden step up. He's your Nick Foles now.
Yeah, I don't see it.
The aging veteran that comes in.
I don't.
No?
No.
You don't see Al going out there on the court halftime?
How's everyone doing?
I just don't think they're that. I don't think they're any good. I don't think they're, again.
It didn't look good with Simmons. It's only going to look worse.
The problem is goes back to all roads go back. It's like the Bruins logo. All roads lead to the B. All roads lead, when the Sixers lead to the double B.
Mm-hmm.
All roads back to Brett. And
I need to grow a bomber.
Look, he was given a task to try to resuscitate this thing, and he chose a route that I was against, and he wanted to try this new thing instead of just trying to go keep the ball in Simmons' hands and let him go. Anyway, it's all moot anyway because Simmons is out, and I just don't think they're good enough. I just don't. I don't think they're good enough defensively. I mean,
talented guard that you're going up against, like a Damian Lillard,
will thrash them. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that people, I think, fail to realize is that this is just bubble play. This isn't the playoffs. In the playoffs is when you man up. Playoffs is when you defend every possession. That's when you man up in the bubble. Right now, the bubble play is no defense, you know, up and down the floor. Let's go put 130 up.
Yep.
That's what bubble play is. But once the playoffs start and they're playing for real, I got to believe that rotation shorten and they start to defend and you're starting to play for your life. These guys, you could see it. They're not playing good defense. Nobody's playing good defense. Look at the scoring, how the scoring is up so much. Playoffs, you play defense, man. That's it.
Yeah, and this Sixers team is not playing any defense. They're not playing a lick of it right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I know the last couple of possessions, they tried moving Josh Richardson on Damian Lillard, but he's not good enough to lock down a guy like Dame. I mean...
No. No.
And then,
no, you're not good. See, the only chance you had to win, in my opinion, was you played... And this is what Simmons healthy. Is if you play great defense.
Yep.
And you control the glass and you use your length. That was it. You know, it's funny because we're off the board. Like, people are in a bad way. Like my man, Anthony Hobson. Ant says, Ben can have the ball every possession. This team still ain't bleak. And I get it. But the only way, the only prayer they had to win, and I thought it was a decent shot, is if they manned up and played great defense in the playoffs. Use their size, have Thybulle start, not Milton, and then use their size, play great defense, use your length, play with a purpose, try to get teams in foul trouble, and bull your way. That was it. That was the only blueprint. And they never embraced it, and that's it.
Yeah, and then you got your firepower off the bench with Shake. Alec Burks obviously showing that.
Firepower, but I get it.
Well, whatever firepower you can muster coming off that bench, and then you go back to the starting five. Yeah, you're right, and obviously we didn't see that, and it's now without Simmons, it's a lost cause. But I want to ask you something. Has almost like the frustrations of the Sixers overshadowed the success of the Flyers right now?
No.
No, you don't think so?
The disintegration of the Sixers?
Yeah. Yes, we'll go with that word instead. I see more people complaining about the Sixers than celebrating the Flyers right now.
No. Maybe now, but I'm hoping in a week, no.
I'm hoping Wednesday, because like, Wednesday is a playoff game for the Flyers.
Here's the thing. I think it's arcing in the Flyers' favor. Because I think you had to get used to this team is dead, right? The Sixers are dead.
Right.
For me, I'm completely depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've channeled all my sorrow. And truthfully, I'm mourning the loss of the Sixers right now. I'm devastated over the loss. I really am. And the only thing, and I choose to be happy, right? So being the 4-for-4 soul that I am, I've channeled all of my optimism. And you and I are similar in that by nature, we're both optimists.
Right.
Right? So being an optimist, I'm able to channel all my good feelings toward the Flyers. And use the Flyers as my crutch to get over the Sixers.
Okay.
I
like
that.
I just wonder if others, I don't know if others are doing that. I'm seeing more bitching and moaning on the social media than I am celebrating.
It's easy to bitch and moan on social media because that's what social media is.
Yeah, but it's great to celebrate too.
Yeah, but there's nothing. You got to get a run for the playoffs haven't begun yet. They got to get a run. And it's got to, we talked about it last week. People have to jump on board. Not everybody's on board yet. Like, the ancillary people aren't on board yet.
Okay.
You have all these other factors, right?
Okay.
You have, A, they're playing hockey in August. And people go, this is still weird. B, you still have all the virus concerns, the economic concerns. Life is life, man. Life is tough right now. And then you have the, well, the playoffs haven't begun yet. So all that, I'm hoping that once the playoffs begin and we get an actual game against Montreal, that people start to go, all right, well, let's go. Let's move all of our optimism to the Flyers. And they deserve it. They deserve your attention. They really do. All right. Let's give you some phone numbers. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Big weekend. A lot of fun. And I'm curious of what you thought, what you saw Saturday night against Tampa. And, of course, the misery that is the Sixers. Because Radio Tunis, we're just getting started on a Monday morning. Look, life comes at us hard these days. We're just talking about it. We go 100 miles an hour. We feel stressed, exhausted, run down, dehydrated, headaches, body aches. All right, we're all working overtime trying to protect ourselves from getting sick. All right, listen, so I found this new thing. It's awesome. It's Exceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. That's what it is. And it's a positive way to recharge and refuel. It's been a game changer for me. Imagine flooding your body with the vitamins, nutrients, amino acids, and hydration you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, replenish your reserves. Right? So you go in and you get the nutrients and vitamins and hydration administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Exceva's modern infusion suites. So you relax in the massage chair, enjoy a snack while you receive your infusion right in front of a flat screen TV. I'm telling you, it's like you got the IV of the goodies. You're hooked up. It's almost like your phone. You're recharging your body like you would plug in your phone. It's important, especially these days. To learn more about Exceva's vitamin therapies, visit Exceva.com. That's AXIVA.com. AXIVA.com. Exceva. Replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The great Boosh, Brian Boucher on the Comcast Business Hotline. Boosh! What's going
Anthony,
on, brother?
How you doing?
Good. Dude, you're killing it. Killing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No, listen.
I do.
And you know me. We know each other well enough that I wouldn't say that to you. I would be friendly with you and love you, but I wouldn't go over. You're doing phenomenal job, brother. Really.
Thanks. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, a real unique situation, right, where we're inside a bubble. And, you know, I feel really honored and lucky to be here because there's a lot of media members that are on the outside and not able to get inside. And the fact that I've been inside the bubble, it's been a lot of work. But at the same time, I can't tell you how much fun it's been. It's really been it's been an amazing experience so far. And I'm grateful to be here. So I'm happy you're enjoying the work. I'm happy to be here. And hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, everything keeps going smoothly.
So we're all excited in Philadelphia about the Flyers and just the dominant performance. Again, Saturday night, first of all, the kid comes up with two breakaways. He stones Kucherov in one of them. He was absurd again. And they then smothered, locked down Tampa, and to get the one seed. How are you looking about these Flyers?
I mean, I'm really impressed with the way that they've played. I think of, you know, there's some teams that have impressed me in the East. I mean, Carolina was impressive in their win against the Rangers. They've got some young, dynamic players. Columbus, what they did against Toronto was impressive. All the star power that they lost to free agency, yet they just find a way to continue to do a job. But the Flyers and what they've done, they've just surgically gone about their business and dismantled three really good teams in the round robin. Now I don't know if we should get ahead of ourselves because they are round robin games, and I will say that those games did not have the same intensity as the qualifying round games, and it's understandable why it was that way. I mean, these guys, you could go 0-3 and there were no real ramifications, right, aside from having the number four seed. So I want to pump the brakes a little bit on, you know, how good the Flyers look. Mm-hmm. Of the four round robin teams, they were the best. They defended well. Their goaltending was very good. Guys that, the depth of the roster helped out. You know what I mean? Like Lawton really stepped up big in this round robin. He looked fantastic, but the additions, guys like Grant and Thompson, the role players, I mean, you know, key faceoff wins, good job on the penalty kill. They did a really good job of helping out in their own zones. I mean, these are things that are going to help, win in the long run. But again, it's round robin. When the puck drops on Tuesday and round one starts, that's when we'll start to really judge this team.
So tell us about the Canadiens a little bit. And, you know, we all thought that Pittsburgh would benefit a lot from the getting healthy from the restart, and the Price played fantastic and they were able to beat them. I mean, what kind of challenge do the Canadiens face?
Yeah, they got a great goaltender, and I think Price played a big role in the first three games, not so much in the clinching game in game four. I thought, the Canadiens did a great job in game four of really frustrating Pittsburgh and not allowing, you know, their offense to take over. You know, the speed through the neutral zone wasn't there. But I was also disappointed in Pittsburgh's effort. I thought it was pathetic the way they played in game four. There was no heart. There was no willingness to go through the wall to try and find a way. They didn't draw penalties. Basically, it looked like they laid down in game four, which was disappointing to see. But, you know, the Canadiens are a team that they've got three big defense, and they got a goaltender, and that's what their team is. So, you know, Price is huge in goal, but Shea Weber, Ben Chiarot, and Jeff Petrie on the back end, those are the guys that the Flyers are going to have to find a way to make it difficult to play against. For Chiarot and Weber, these are big, bruising guys that play a hard style of game. And the Flyers are going to have to find a way to get inside on them. They're going to have to find a way to get second and third chance opportunities. If they can wear them down, it'll go a long way in getting to Carey Price. Because after that, the Canadiens, I mean, truthfully, they had some guys that underperformed in that series against Pittsburgh. You know, Philip Deneau, Brendan Gallagher, and Thomas Tatar, their top line, they were quiet. They were quiet in that series, and yet they still won because they had some performances from some other guys. And they had some young guys that stepped up and played well. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, a third overall pick a couple years ago, had a disappointing regular season. Looks like a different player in the playoffs right now, or at least he did in that Pittsburgh series. Same thing with Nick Suzuki. I mean, I don't think he had a disappointment. He had a good season, but he's a player that I look at him like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, a good player. But they don't have the horses up front. Philadelphia should be okay with this opponent. Like, this is a big victory for the Flyers to finish first and get the Montreal Canadiens. If it's not Carey Price and those three defense that I mentioned, there's not much on this team.
Yeah, and you look at the Flyers, and one of the things that's really come about during the restart in the round robin tournament was their depth. I mean, different guys are scoring. Look, Voracek sat the other night. He's had veteran JVR sat. I mean, and yet this team is so deep, and it's been smothering teams.
It has, and you know, that's a credit to the coaching staff and what Alain Vigneault has been able to get these guys to do. And credit to Chuck Fletcher as well. I mean, recognizing at the deadline didn't make any sexy moves, right? I mean, right. You had Derek Grant, you had Nate Thompson, and people are probably, you know, scratching their head saying, who, what? But, you know, recognizing that you need, you know, guys down the lineup that can, you know, penalty kill, that can do the intangibles, that can win key faceoffs, and kind of take some heat off of guys like, you know, Couturier. And, you know, look, you know, Scott Lawton's a good player, right? And I think for years, I think people, you know, just assume that he's a bottom six guy, but he had himself a heck of a start to that qualifying or to the round robin. And you know, he's gaining confidence. I think Kevin Hayes looked terrific. You know, even Joel Farabee getting in that last game and scoring and playing a prominent role, that goes a long way. You know, when you need all hands on deck in a long run, it goes a long way. You can't just rely on one or two guys. If you can start getting some of your depth players to start chipping in, that's where special things can start happening. And I think the Flyers right now got off to a good start. But like I said, I think you gotta pump the brakes a little bit, understanding that it was the round robin. They should beat Montreal. There's no question in my mind they should beat Montreal. They should beat them easily. And I don't think they're gonna get into a situation where they're gonna get frustrated. Like Pittsburgh was. I think Pittsburgh wanted to play a game where it's going to be an easy game. Guys like Malkin, they want to be able to skate and have ice. And the minute you start leaning on those guys and it gets a little bit difficult, you saw, I mean, they ended up caving. And I don't see anybody on this Flyer roster that would have that same type of mentality. I think the Flyers are not an entitled team. I think they've got a lot to prove. Pittsburgh maybe having won two Stanley Cups in the last couple of years. Maybe they felt like they were good. You know, they're all set. But this Flyer team, I see a bunch of guys that are hungry, and I don't think they're going to overlook Montreal. I think that they know that they got a great opportunity here, and they're going to try and build off the confidence that they built in that round robin.
Yeah, I think you really suss it out. I mean, when a guy like Vigneault, and we're talking to the great Brian Boucher, and we know we'll get you off in just a moment. When he makes these kinds of lineup changes, how does that go over in the room?
I think when a guy like JVR gets scratched, I doubt he's happy about it, right? I mean, right. I'm sure he's not thrilled. Voracek, I'm not really sure. I think that was more of an unfit to play type of situation, although I'm not entirely sure on that. It's hard to get information, you know, with regard to that type of stuff, but, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm sure the player is not thrilled about it, but I think the mentality of the group is that, you know, it's about winning. It's about you know, putting the team first, and you can't get sore over decisions that the coach makes. You know what I mean? And I think that even though JVR is a veteran guy, and you know he's got a big price tag on there, you know, you got to understand that. Look, maybe you need a little bit more. And I think there's nothing better than sending a wake up call like that to say, hey, look, Joel Farabee's waiting in the wings. If you're not going to bring it, you know what I mean? And I think that'll get the best out of JVR. And JVR is a pro. I mean, he knows that he has to be better, but you know, in fairness to JVR too, I mean, I don't know that he gets the opportunities that he probably thought he was going to get in Philadelphia when he signed. I mean, I think he was thinking like first PP unit, net front, you know, after they got rid of Wayne Simmonds, and it hasn't played out that way. So in fairness to him, I think, you know, he hasn't gotten those types of looks that he probably thought he was going to get. But at the same time, you know, a guy like JVR, I mean, I think he's not a big bruising winger by any stretch, but I think there's more in his game that he can bring 5-on-5 that'll get the attention of Alain Vigneault and maybe help with his playing time. Because, you know, when he gets going, I mean, he can score 20, 25 goals with his eyes closed because he's good around the front of the net. He's a big body. But sometimes you just need to poke and prod a guy like that a little bit. And if you do it and you get the most out of him, then that's good coaching.
Boosh, you're the best. We love you. We know you got a lot of busy stuff ahead of you. So we'll be bothering you throughout the playoffs, man. Thanks, brother. Enjoy and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Anthony. Great talking to you, man. Be good.
Thanks, brother. You too, man. There he is, the great Brian Boucher from the bubble in Toronto.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.